What's going on, Faster Freedom Nation? Before we get into the show, I want to talk about a giveaway that we are doing. The link is going to be in the show notes below, but basically, if you share the giveaway or like and rate the podcast, you are entered to win. The more you share, the more other people share your share, the more points you will get. And what you win, you will win two t-shirts, two Faster Freedom t-shirts, a Faster Freedom hat, an unreleased Faster Freedom mug, and two signed Faster Freedom Own Your Freedom books that I wrote. All really simple stuff, just simply for clicking a link. All right, back to the show.
You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, we have a fun one today, would you say?
Well, I would call it maybe, it's definitely fun, but also a...
banger.
Yes.
We got a banger. So we're going to talk about, can gurus,
quote, kangaroos
actually help?
Who's kangaroos, Sam?
This is kangaroo? Is that what it sounded like? I can't hear out of my right ear. I have a ear infection. That's why I only have this boy in the left ear.
So adults get ear infections?
Yes. What, did you think adults couldn't get ear infections?
I've never gotten ear infections. So.
What?
When I was an adult, at least. Have you gotten an adult
ear? He had one last week.
Damn. All right.
You just got really good ears. I got pretty bad ears. I have a lot of ear infections, a swimmer's ear growing up. I had tubes in my ear. My right ear tube, like, hole didn't heal over, so they had to patch it, and I have a patch over my eardrum.
I feel like everybody gets the short end of the stick somewhere.
Yes.
On their body.
But good thing the end of my stick ain't short.
There you go.
Boom.
Just ears.
Tell them, Coco.
Just ear canal tight.
All right, okay, so we're going to talk about, can gurus help? We're going to do a little riddles. Would you rather just talk about getting education for people online, and is it sustainable? But before we get into that, Lucas, we're having a good conversation before this all started. Are you doing No Shave November?
I don't think so. I just look like this today.
I know. I mean, this is as long as my beard's been in a minute.
Yeah, this is on the tail end of me. I just, you know, I'd let it grow for like a week, 10 days, and I just knock it down. Then I'd let it grow, knock it down. Pretty simple.
That's good. So we got the mustaches going around the office.
Yeah.
T-York has one.
Yes.
Matty Dubs has
Looks
one.
Looks good, too. For a 21-year-old, that is a thick stash.
Yeah, he does. He's got a lot of body hair, that
man. Looks good.
Yep.
Looks good.
For sure.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Yep, that's him. Yeah. Little young Aaron Rodgers look.
Yeah, I can
him.
See that. No doubt. So, A-Rod rocked the mustache for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, he did.
Too.
That's what I'm saying. So I am going to do the stash.
The whole month?
For a while. I was planning on doing it, and then the office did it, so I'm like, for sure, I'm going to do it. I do have a wedding this weekend with my wife's cousin, Eric. Shout out, Eric. So I am I'm not going to do, like, a big gross stash at the wedding.
You should.
It's Courtney's family. I don't even... Yeah, okay. You think I should?
I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah.
It's not like you're... Maybe if you're, like, in the wedding. Maybe. Are you, like, a... Usher?
No, but like, no, I'm not. But like, I don't like her family. We haven't seen each other as much on that side. So it's like, haven't seen Sam in 2 years, and he's coming with this gross
dude,
stash.
I say do it. How much more fun would that be than you coming looking just regular and boring?
Well, I don't think either of them are that fun, but fine. I might do it. We will see. All right. Awesome. So today, Lucas, what do you think? Before I know, you're going to kind of grow me a little bit, because we both are quote unquote gurus. I'm a little bit more of a public facing guru. And I think, honestly, guru, and I'm using that word a lot, obviously, kanguru, has a somewhat bad connotation potentially, but there are good gurus and bad gurus.
Yeah, I think we got a, you know, super unique perspective on this, because, you know, we grew up in a time, not grew up, but we started investing in a time where, like, social media started becoming a little more prominent. So therefore, there were gurus out there that we looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, we both had a pretty good gut of, like, figuring out who was fake and who was not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've tried to model our behavior and our business off of not being like some of those slimy gurus, right?
Correct. We definitely get our haters online to a certain degree, but it is never like you're a fake guru or you're slimy or you are over salesy. It's I don't believe that you've done that crazy stuff, or it's like real estate investors and landlords suck. It's never just like, hey, your guys' brand is slimy and guru feely, because it's not, and that is extremely intentional that we do not do that way. Like, we could monetize a lot more, we could sell a lot more, we could pitch a lot more, but that's just not what we're about. We're doing fine as a company, and we'll grow it the way we want to grow it.
And it's all perspective too, right? There's there's people out there that are going to trigger other people in certain ways, mm-hmm. and they're just going to align with different personalities better. So that's just kind of part of it as well.
Yeah, and I feel like, and we can get into this, I feel like if I could, and I'm going to start to grow our brand a little bit more in a non-slimy way by being a little more divisive, by being a little more like having opinions on things that I actually have opinions on. Like, a lot of people do this, and it's probably true, in order to hit a certain level of fame or a certain level of people knowing your brand, you have to have a ton of people hate you and a ton of people love you. Like, yeah. We don't have that. We get our hate, but I generally, because that's how I am, I'm middle of the road on a lot of things, yeah. Pretty moderate on most things. I don't have strong opinions either way on a lot of things, and all I do is real estate and family, so I don't have this side of me that is super divisive that a lot of people have in order to grow that brand. We are doing a video on porn, sex changes,
yep.
Surgeries for kids under
Hot
18. And then what is the book called? Gender queer book in the schools that they have.
Yes.
So we are,
so
I am taking a stance on
that.
I'm dabbling.
The whole, I think, as long as your opinions are strong on those things,
correct.
You know what I mean? And people aren't just out there clickbaiting like some people out there, like just to get clicks and views and like act like they have a strong opinion on certain things.
I can definitely not fake it anything, and I can't fake like an opinion or a take on a post or on a podcast. So that's good and bad. It'd be nice if I could fake it a little bit, probably get more views, as long as I'm not doing anything
long term. No,
but I can't fake
it's
so
the right play.
That's part of the reason. But I do think, and this episode's not about that. We're going to take a hard right into gurus. We're talking about gurus a little bit, but I definitely don't think that somebody that's 12 years old should be allowed to have a sex change surgery. So I am going to have an opinion on that.
What about porn?
I have a video
wait
on
to
it.
See. Yeah, wait to see.
I end the video with, you know how I end the video?
Yeah.
I just talk about like how like it's unrealistic expectations. And I was like, and honestly, your wife can't do that position and you're not that big.
Yeah, and I can't. Do that.
No.
I'm too freaking old.
Yeah, yeah. You pull something.
I don't bend like that.
No, yeah. And like, just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, those like long scenes, there's cuts in between. They don't go that long.
Yeah, it's multiple scenes spliced together.
Yeah, duh. Probably multiple days. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to interview you today since you are the main guru here.
You are going to give your opinions as well, but yes, grill me.
Yeah, I'm going to grill you. So, Samuel, in your words, what is a guru?
A guru is somebody, and I'll break it down to guru and then good guru, bad guru. Good guru in general, in my opinion, is somebody that just is a matter expert in a certain topic.
Yeah.
Is that the matter expert? What is the
subject
word?
Subject matter.
Subject matter.
SME.
Yes, SME. A subject matter expert. S and M. Isn't that a thing too?
That kind of goes along the lines
with
of
the other
porn.
Yeah. So we're tying, that's the bridge. Porn, SME.
Segu.
Yes, that's the Segu. Porn, S&M, SME.
Yep.
We're here. So subject matter expert in a certain category that they teach people about. There's a lot of subject matter experts in certain categories that they're just not teaching people about, right? There's not everybody wants to teach. But in my opinion, a guru is supposed to be and usually is a subject matter expert in something that they teach about. That the difference in just knowing something and being a guru is the teaching aspect. What do you think about that?
Would you say, no, I agree with that. Would you say to be a guru these days, you have to have like a public facing, like do like a like social media? Do you have to be on social media, would you say, or can you be like a closet guru?
I see to be a closet guru, it just makes you a
you can be an SME but not a guru.
Yeah,
maybe?
I think the difference between the two is somebody that is has a face that is teaching people. Like, there are plenty of people that are gurus that don't have a huge social media following, but where you get the icky guru taste in your mouth is when people are outlandish on social media or make lavish claims or do that clickbait stuff that we talked about earlier. So that's where it can kind of go south. But in my opinion, that guru is just somebody that knows it, that teaches it, and hopefully has some integrity behind it.
Yep, cool. I agree with that, the difference between an SME and a guru there for sure. So knowing what a guru is now, would you identify yourself as a guru?
He, him, guru. That's going to be my pronouns.
Yeah.
No, I would say for like what a guru is, and I feel like let me ask you this. I'll answer that, but let me ask you this. What would you say if you pulled 100 people, what would the percentage be of people that think Guru is a good thing and people think Guru is a bad thing?
It would be highly bad, I would say.
What would your percentage
be?
I would say
70 bad, 30 good.
I was going to say similar. I was going to say 60, 40, but similar. In general, Guru has a bad connotation, but I would say that, yes, I am a guru. What do? I teach people on a public scale about a subject that I'm an expert at. So by the definition that we just rolled out, I am a guru. I would say you are a guru. And in general, it can be a good or a bad thing. But I feel like most gurus are probably honestly good, but they have a bad connotation out there. But yes, I would say that I'm a guru. What would you say?
I would say so as well.
Awesome.
Guru. That's just such a funny word, and we're going to say it like 100 times this episode.
So if you're, I feel like you should pause this episode now if you're watching, and Friday evening about 5 o'clock, turn it on, and then take a sip of your alcoholic beverage every time you say
that'd
the word
be
guru.
Fun. That'd be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the drinking guru.
Like, remember
game.
That red light, or what was that song? By Sting, I think it was. Roxanne. Every time they said Roxanne or red light, you take a drink and you picked. I think it was a
we
lot.
We did it on a Thunder too, but who sings Thunder? I should know this.
Imagine like, Dragons?
No, it's like an old school classic rock song. Maybe like AC/DC. I should know this, but it was before my time, and I'm not a huge classic rock fan. Help me out here, T York.
Thunderstruck
by AC/DC. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, this game's a little different where they say Thunder. And you stop drinking when they say Thunder the next time, and then you drink when they say it the next time. So there's like long gaps that you
have to chug.
But this was a college game. We don't play this anymore. So.
No, we do not. No, we do not. So yeah, where were we?
Guru. Drinking guru. Game. All
yes.
right. So
drinking game. Guru. Play it.
Yeah, you are a guru.
I would say so. Yes.
You identify as a guru.
I do.
And a male. Yep. Good for you. Both those. All right. So we talked about icky and non-icky. We'll get to that in a little bit here too. But what do you think sets you apart from being a guru than all the other gurus out there?
Well, then a lot of them. I think there's a lot of really good ones out there, but there's a lot of really bad ones out there. And I'm just going to lay it out there. I try, and you're way better than I am at this, Lucas, but I try not to be like just super like, not negative, but like, throwing people out there, but I'm going to because we're talking about gurus. Like, I feel like I am the opposite of, and I do that on purpose of, like, meet Kevin. You knew I probably was going to go there with the guru. If you just scroll through his YouTube channel, every single video for the past 3 years is about death, destruction, the end of the economy, the end of the world, the end of crypto, the end of real estate, a crash is coming, the world is over. Everything is just negative, and that's how most news stations are to get views. So I would say if you are wanting to see if you think a guru is legitimate or not, just look at their motives. Like Fox News, CNBC, CNN, they get paid when you watch their shows, right? Because advertisers pay them based on how many views they get on their shows. Me, Kevin, gets paid by how many views he gets on YouTube. I don't get paid by any platform for anything. YouTube, we don't even do anymore. We make like $300-$400 a month on YouTube. I don't think I'm monetizing Instagram right now, and TikTok I make like $3 a day. So I don't substantially get paid for views. Views do help my brand, but I'm not getting paid for somebody watching or listening to something I do. So that's part of what sets me apart is I don't, not that like they have like advertisers in their pocket and people like, you know, lobbyists paying them to say certain things, but I don't have any, I don't get monetized if I say something good, bad, or indifferent. So that's part of it is I don't make money on the content that I create, which allows me to create the content that I want. Did I articulate that well?
Absolutely. That was great, man. Yeah, and I think
what would you say, coming from an inside outsider's perspective, what makes me and just the brand different?
Yeah, I think we talk about this being like our uniques, right? We talk about it in the business a lot, and I think it's the authenticity for sure. And I think that's a intent of ours. It also comes naturally for you, but it's an intent for the company to, when we started this, we didn't want to be like all the other people, right? And we wanted to do it differently. So I think you can see that in all the content and even our course as well.
Yeah, we'll get into that here in a minute for sure. I think it's something that was very intentional because on the surface, it doesn't really make a ton of sense. It really does, in my opinion. I know I've worked my
D to the ground. You know that to get our following.
D
but
to the ground.
You know what I meant, right?
I do, but okay. I've just never heard that.
Well, yeah, I guess I don't know why I'm... This is explicit. We've said the F word a few times. We say shit a lot, but Jill Prim does listen every... But actually, she doesn't really listen anymore.
My mom does.
Your mom still listens?
Everyone. Love you, Mom.
I love you, Colleen. Remember when I screamed really loud and made her almost drive off the road?
Yeah, that was like the first time you've ever like met my mom, and you're in the back of the minivan.
After
you're
baseball
like,
practice.
Just on did some random really, scream, and yeah. She almost like crashed.
Yeah, because I scared the shit out of her.
Yeah, like who had some freaking 14-year-old screaming at the
Colleen,
top of the
I just
want
to let you know what your life was going to be like for the next 50 years. Just getting her in it. But anyways, so... It doesn't make sense that we have 2.7 million followers on social media and a really good social media brand. We can talk about brand and gurus and social media later. I think that's very interesting because our brand is not near as strong as our social media following is. They are linked but different. But anyways, I'm not like horrible to look at, but I'm not like it's one of these people that has a distinguishing feature. Like I was with last week or a couple weeks ago, Beardy Brandon, crazy tall. He's got this huge beard. Like you see him and you're like, that's Beardy Brandon.
He's
I've had people,
than you.
Yeah,
so he's
taller,
probably,
but
what,
it's,
like 6'1".
Probably 6'6", I would say 6'5".
Really?
Yeah, exactly. but he has this really long beard, so it's a distinguishable feature that helps him win his brand.
Benita with the hair.
I've had people see me. And say like, or see, say they thought they saw me or they did see me because I'm just like pretty normal looking. And then like Pineda's got the pink hair. He's doing that now. Like, you know for sure it's Ryan when you see him because there's other people that look like him. But when you see that pink hair and then like all these other people that have this and Hermosi, he's got his cutoff shirt and his big mustache and his calves
and his breathing strip.
Yeah. So they're like not cartoon characters. It's a good thing they have this, but they have this distinguishable feature. So I don't have that. I mumble. You know that. I'm a mumble rapper. I slur a little bit when I talk because I have such a big tongue. Like,
as you said that, you just like spit in the
microphone. Yeah, I know. So I don't like have this succinct way of speaking or this crazy way about me or this way that I look, and I don't have these crazy opinions. Yet, I have 2.7 million followers. We have 2.7 million followers on social media. So it doesn't really make sense. But I think where it does make sense is, which if you dig in a little bit deeper, Walls, is that authenticity, the fact that we care, the fact that we're doing what we say. I'm not talking about something we used to do. I'm talking about something we actively doing. So we have the active intel. We have the active, you know, strategies that we're manipulating and working. We've done some cool shit that's cool to watch. And we really do care. My thumbs hurt right now because I answer so many DMs still. And I answer so many questions. We actually care and have that human touch that most people don't. So that's why I think sets us apart.
Yeah, and I would say that kind of is your setting apart factor is your normalness and relatability. I would say so. I think that probably rings true to most people in the country anyway. Is hey, yeah, I'm a normal dude. I'm in my 30s or 40. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's do it real quick. Yes.
All right.
So happy birthday. We're live on the podcast.
What up, Danny? It's our CFO's birthday today.
Yeah. All right. We are actually doing the podcast, Daniel. So Danny Dowd, happy 39th birthday. 40 is going to be a banger next year. We'll talk later. All right.
So relatability. And I think that is your superpower. And yeah, people see, I'm a dad or, you know, I want to leave corporate or, I like my family too. All that type of stuff, I think, is gonna pay off in the long run than having some sort of physical feature that, you know, people can resonate with.
I agree. I agree. I think I heard somebody say this the other day on a podcast. They're like, and I don't think this is our brand, but I like that some people think that they're like, you're almost kind of like the anti-guru.
Yeah.
Like they're like, they've seen pictures of my house and I mean, they don't know, but knows how much money we actually make, but they're like, you could probably like, you could have a bigger, like, mansion of a house. It's a nice house, but we could do way more lavish things. We could have way nicer cars. We could do way more things with our money, but we choose not to. And I think people appreciate that because I think there for a while, the flashiness, the Ferrari, the PJs, all that stuff did grab people's attention. It still kind of does. But I think that got overplayed. And just the fact that we're just doing normal stuff, talking about our family and, doing well, but not bragging too much on it and trying to help people. It's a good place for a brand to be. I wouldn't mind a little more distinguishable of a feature, but you don't have to do that. So So yeah. Another call.
Maybe it could be your mustache.
Maybe. I don't want to have that forever, but maybe. I don't know. Like, Marty looks phenomenal in his mustache.
Yeah. Didn't Shane, when we first met Shane, had that, like, pencil thin mustache, too? So, yeah, you should bust that out.
I'm going to bust it out. I'm going to do that. So I think that's what sets us apart. Last thing on that, and then we can move on to the next question, Walls, because I think about it's a lot obvious. This is our livelihood, is this brand that we've been building. It's very, very intentional that we do it that way. And I think that what we attract is the people that appreciate that, which is the people that end up paying us for our paid content. We'll get into here in a minute. Yep. But the people that are attracted to the Corvettes, the people that are attracted to, or not the Corvette, I don't know why I said that Corvette. You have a Corvette and it's not like you didn't spend $300,000 on it. The people that are attracted to the Ferraris, the people that are attracted to the fake things, the watches. There's so many people that have expensive watches. My expensive habit is Jordan shoes. They're like $250 a pair and I buy like five a year. So
I like those Sorels.
These are Sorels. They're nice. So my expensive habit is spending like $3,000 a year on shoes. So anyways, people that are attracted to that are not the people that are going to understand how what it takes to pay somebody to teach you how to create wealth. The people that are attracted to those are, I feel like, are the people that they want the get rich quick scheme. They're unrealistic. They want to spend, they want to give you $200 to learn to make $10,000 tomorrow. The people that are willing to give us $10,000 know that they're going to create wealth in the long term. And that's just the people that we unintentionally attract, are people that I feel like have their head on a little bit straighter.
Nice. I think that's a great segue into this next question here too, because we all probably spend time following or at being the student, you know, instead of the creator. 99%
of people
are the consumers.
Correct,
right?
99%.
So I'm a big believer in, you know, consuming the right information, because the information that you consume is going to, you know, affect your thoughts, and your thoughts is going to affect your reality and how you see the world. Mm-hmm. So I think it's super important to consume information that is going to better you in your life for the long term. So whether you're following someone or possibly taking that next step and maybe even consider signing up for somebody's programs or being a student and then being the coach, what do you think are some red flags that people should look out for when considering following or working with some of these gurus?
So we talked about a couple and have a couple more, but your thought made me say that quote. That's my favorite quote in the last 6 months. We have books that we read, but like, you can round it out if I say it wrong, but be careful how you perceive the world, because that's how it is.
That's how it really is.
That's crazy if you think about it. Literally how you perceive it is how it is, and you can control to a degree how you perceive it.
Exactly.
Therefore, you can control the world to a certain degree.
Absolutely. The reality isn't the same for everybody. The reality is different for every single person on this earth.
And you can control to a certain degree how you take things on. So just a crazy, like, mind-bending thought to me is it's really cool. But red flags. So in general, I think red flags are going to be, let's just talk about social media and then we'll get into like the gurus and the branding part. And not trying to throw any shade at people, because I've tried a few of these things, but I've seen these a lot recently with people that I've been interacting a little bit of. When you're on social media, not everybody, all the algorithms different. Not every video is going to go viral, but I've seen several people lately with 75, 100, 150,000 followers on social media, and all of their videos get 300, 800, 1,000, 4,000. Like, the view to follower ratio is different for everybody. Like, we've had our hot streaks and our cold streaks, but like, if you got 120,000 followers and all of their posts are getting less than 1,000 views, they bought those followers. Like, that's very obvious. Like, so just looking at the amount of followers, that's cool. But look at the content and see if, like, you're like, oh, this person has 150,000 followers, they must know what they're talking about, let me follow them. Well, check out their content and see the views to a certain degree. And there's those people that have 800,000 followers that have 9 posts of them just like eating or like buy a car. Like, those obviously are bought. So in general, the social media part of it, just do a little more research. And not that you can't follow these people, not that they don't have decent advice, they just and I've tried it a long time ago. I didn't buy followers ever, but they just took the shortcut of trying to like get that social proof. I've paid for our content to be like a millionaire mentor page, like a page with 10 million followers. Our content goes on that, and then people can watch it and decide to follow us or not. So that's like a kind of shortcut, but even that is not a good thing to do. The minute we started growing like crazy is when we stopped doing that. The only way to grow on social media, and I don't want to go on a tangent here, is to put out content on your page that
quality
gets,
content
they yeah. get, but that gets put on from your page to people's eyes. No intermediary. That's not gonna, it's never gonna be legit followers. So there's that, and the following goes. And then as far as red flags to me would be somebody talking a lot in past tense about things they used to do. I bought this house, you know, this is, you know, I bought this apartment complex 8 years ago. And we do that too, because we tell people stories, but people that aren't ever talking about things they're actively doing, especially in real estate. If somebody's not actively investing in the past 2 years, they have no idea what works right now.
Yeah.
So actively investing, and then just those flashy, somebody, the biggest red flag for me as far as personally to follow someone is if they are fear mongers, and you know how much that drives me freaking crazy.
Yeah, me too.
People that people that try to scare you into watching their videos. Yeah. Even if their videos aren't scary, like I just say this example, then I'll get off the tangent. I want your opinion, but like I just use this perfect example of meet Kevin. He has an incredible reach, and sorry Kevin, I'm sure you're a fine guy, whatever, but he gets such reach on his YouTube, Lucas. So when he does a thumbnail that says the real estate market is crashing, sell everything, the world is over, like pretty much how what he said before, he gets probably a 10% CTR, meaning 10% of the people that see it click on it. But he reaches 2 million people see that thumbnail, and then what's 10% of that? 200,000 click on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 1.8 million people think that that's true and think that that's what's the video about. That's like using your powers to scare people. I get it. In the video, he says that it's not happening. He's just trying to get you in there. But the scary thing to me is, you know, 90% of people see that, and then they think that that's what the video is about. So anyways, I took that a few different places. So what's your red flags for viewers?
Yeah, I think you gave two amazing ones with some detail on each on how to get ahead of it and to realize the red flags before you get too deep,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is great, because there's so many people out there that pay a lot of money, and then that's when they figure out, This is not what I thought it was. And we are in that boat as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say a red flag a little bit further down the funnel would be you pay for something and they just give you a very surface level teaser bit of information and keep continuing to try to upsell you,
yep.
and almost scare you into the fact that, hey, if you don't do this, you are not going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been a part of certain conferences and things that did that exact same thing to us.
Why don't you tell this? Or we've said it before, but obviously very few people probably remember it. This was in 2000, probably 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luke's and I went to a Than Merrill, I believe, just basically a scammer type of, a horrible guru type of conference. Explain that, and then I love that you moved it down the funnel, because I think this is what sets us apart even more than our content is, once you pay to learn from us, the level of value we provide is insane. And I used to shy away from talking about having a paid community. Now I want to talk about it, because we are literally changing people's lives, and I could name 30 people live in the past 6 months that we've changed. But anyways, keep going.
Yeah.
More than 30, but I'm just thinking 30 people that legitimately are close to being financially free because of us. But go.
Yeah, I think you just brought up another good red flag to me, but it'll come out of this story. But yeah, we paid for a conference here in St. Louis.
We talked about the thing. Was it we paid or was it free?
Yeah, I think we paid. It wasn't a lot.
It was like $20 or something. Wasn't
I
much.
Think it was like 100 or
okay.
200.
Okay.
But, you know, they got several hundred people into this conference room. And it talked about, you know, their business and just like kind of real estate in general. Didn't learn much at all, but pretty much what they did was they put people at the back of the room and gave us a break of some sort. And everybody that kind of exited the building, some people, you were supposed to come back and you were supposed to stop at those tables and sign up for their next part of the program, which was like 10-20 grand. But we realized right there, hey, we're just going to pass these tables and not come back. This doesn't feel right. And like, as we were walking out of the door, he was like, belittling everyone walking out the door. It's like, you people that are walking out of the door, you're never going to be financially successful and all this stuff. And it was, we were like, turned around, we're like, fuck you. Like, yeah, get the hell out of here. Like, watch us. So we didn't need that. And that was an icky feeling for sure. You know, Grant Cardone, a lot of good stuff about Grant. People either hate him or love him, right?
Mm-hmm. He's got that polarity or whatever that I was talking about. That people, he's the one that when I said you got to love him or hate him to get that next level. He's said that before.
Yeah, so. And Grant does have a lot of stuff that we can learn from.
Oh gosh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, he's done a lot of cool things. But we sent our sales guys to one of his selling conferences, and it was very similar, very surface, always teasing the next thing, and had people at the back of the room ready to sign you up for that next thing, whatever it was. And I'm sure if you did that, they'd probably do the same damn thing and just keep doing it and keep doing it. So. I think that's a red flag as well. But in addition, or both of those things have something in common too, where the guru that we were following was not there.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. We have other coaches as well too, but you're a big part of that too. I'm a big part of it. We both take calls. If we had a conference, you know, we'd freaking be there. So that I look at that kind of ridiculous as well. Like, we're not even good enough. The people that sign up aren't even good enough for their time.
Two things to add on that. Remind me, I want to add on other gurus that are doing things well. I want to give a shout out to some of them. But then I remember that Than Merrill thing, like, similarly but kind of different.
Yeah,
so I remember paying, but I'm sure we did a little bit of amount. We got in there was 750 people in the room, let's say maybe 1,000, a lot of people, and they just got on stage and they just were speaking in generalities, and they were giving case studies of this person made $75,000, this person did that, and they were talking, and the guy was obviously super trained to sell and speak on stage. Than wasn't there, of course, like you said, and he was like, there's this hidden market of deals, and he was talking about wholesaling, which we didn't even know about, so that was fine. So we learned a little bit, but then he just showed always the best case scenarios. And then from what I remember, it was like, we're hosting this event, it is $2,000, it's a weekend workshop. If you have a wedding, that if like your wedding is this weekend, what's more important, like creating financial freedom, like move your wedding. They were telling, like, they were purposely doing that, like the most extreme, move your wedding. So they obviously didn't mean that, but what they were doing was they were like anchoring it to, hey, if you have a vacation or anything else, if somebody's willing to move their wedding, you should move your vacation or whatever a commitment you have. And then at that point, then they would try to sell you that $30,000 course. So anyways, it's a whole thing. And then, yeah, I remember, and they did their sales pitch, and I don't remember it being a break. I remember it being the end of it. Everybody was flooding towards the back room, and we just like kind of made a left, and we were the first ones out, and like he was like specifically talking about us because we were at the front of the line. So anyways, obviously the exact same end result, but it's just funny that that's the feeling was, the basic feeling was fuck you.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, definitely left us feeling pretty icky. So those are some great red flags on a lot of stages of the process, from the beginning to the middle. So it's all right. Most people I know spent money on something and regretted it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Cut your losses. Move on. It's a good learning lesson for sure. So those are some red flags on what we call bad gurus. What about some things to look out for some of the good
green flags?
What are the green flags out there for the good gurus?
So I don't want this to be a pitch on our community, which we are going to talk about it because it's just changing lives. But a perfect example, I'm going to give a shout out to my boy. I'm getting ready to get known a little bit. Pace Morby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a cult following. He has that brand that we talked about. I'm not trying to exaggerate here to try to like be whatever, but his brand is, and that's a lot, 10 or 15 times bigger than ours, which is a huge amount, like 1,000% bigger. We have more followers though, so that's where I'm trying to bridge the gap a little bit. But he's got this cult following and this brand, and it's based on him just providing incredible value inside his community after you pay him. I've heard from some of ours, because we have people in his community and our community, and they love both. They're not ever bad talking ours. They like, they're different, but they're like, I literally was working on a deal and it was last minute, and Pace got on the phone with me and walked me through it. This huge guy with this huge brand got on the phone with a student, and there's people like Grant and Than and all these other people that aren't even willing to attend the event. So Pace is incredibly involved in the community to like a lunatic amount. I'm working towards that as I'm trying to free up my time on other things so I can do that, because I would love to do that. I just don't have the time. He has other stuff hired out. So he's a perfect example, and we are too, of the guru or the person that's at the top of the funnel is involved throughout the entire funnel down to the very bottom, not just the people that pay 50 grand, the people that pay in the middle and those other amounts. So that's a huge red flag or green flag if you look at the positive way. So the involvement of the people and the level of quality of the people, because I have heard some, including there, some that like the coaches aren't super experienced. Like our coaches, me and you have done 1,000 deals between Faster House. Me and you own $46 million worth of real estate, and we're on the calls in the Facebook group. Kayola, the main coach, he has 38 rentals that he's bought in 2 years. Dusty, the other coach, has 40 rentals, and he's flipped hundreds of houses and wholesaled hundreds of houses. So the level and the quality of the teaching or coaching inside, I think, is a huge huge green flag, like you said, in a good way, or somebody that just gives you surface level stuff and tries to continue to upsell you.
Yeah, very good. Any other things that people should look out for? We know what not to look out for, but what are some... any other green flags out there that people should look out for when they're looking for someone to get information from?
I think in general, so the green flags, I think, is just is our uniques. And our uniques are, we've said it a little bit, but our active involvement in real estate.
Yep.
We are going to buy 240 houses this year, right?
Yeah.
And we own 6 apartment complexes. We own 150-ish single family. Like, we are actively involved and actively growing. Somebody that is in the weeds and willing to continue to provide value. So we're actively involved more than anybody I know, maybe besides Pace and the thing that they teach. So we know the current strategy that are working or not working. And we just continually improve and don't make people pay. I think this is a big one. We have added so many modules to our community, and we don't like make people pay more or could pay a fee to get those new things that we're adding. I am creating right now an incredible MTR course, like an MTR. We're going to sell it separately, but our people in our community are going to get this midterm rental course. And we're not stubborn enough to think that you have to do what we taught originally. Long-term rentals, the only way to do it, the BRRRS method, do it or you're stupid. Like, we understand that the market changes. You can still do long-term rentals, but we are like, I'm not going to say swallowing our pride, but I was like not against midterm rentals, but I was never going to teach on it because like what I teach works, right? Well, I saw the numbers and talked to people, and we need to give people another option of midterm rentals. So.
Yeah, and that's what the market's doing. And like you said earlier, we are actively doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And our coaches are actively doing it as well. Caleb's got like 10 MTRs.
He has more, there's some people that wrote really good books. I think for Bigger Pockets, I have like 7, which is fine. But he's got like,
he's got like 10, and we got like 3 nows, and going to continue to grow that. So we know this process, and we know what we're teaching, and we're doing what we're teaching.
And the more I'm looking into that, Walls, I think once I finish the course, we should do a podcast on it. But it is like nuts, like going to Furnish Finder in these places and seeing the lack of inventory. Like, you can see how many people, like I ran the numbers the other day, how many people in St. Louis like searched like for like a property. And it was like, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year, it was like 150,000 people searched it, and there was like 300 units available or something insanely low, not even 300, maybe 150, because I think it was like an X return. And then also the pictures of these units are the probably
because they don't have quality,
to be, because they don't have to be super quality units or super quality pictures, because the you know, the inventory is so low and the demand is so high. So I'm glad that we're doing it. You know, I'm not as involved in that part of the company, but I think midterm rentals are like short-term rentals 3 years ago. I think it's going to continue to grow, and I think doing it the right way, I think it's, I know you have to furnish it, but other than that, we own it, and it's the utilities on our name, so we don't do occupancy inspections when we get new people in there. You get them one set of toiletries or whatever, and then they're like, you don't have to continue to refill things. You fill it 3 times a year, 4 times a year max. Anyways, I love midterm rentals.
Beautiful. All right, moving on to the next one here. Faster Freedom. It's a brand, obviously, but we also have a very tight-knit community as well. That's exclusive, right?
Yes.
So we have about 1,300 people a part of that, 1,500 people a part of that community now. What do you think is some of the biggest value adds for being a part of the Faster Freedom community?
So a lot. So we talked about our value add. So let's move the subject. Let's move the topic away from us right now. Hopefully, I think people know the value that we add, that we bring, mm-hmm. that the coaches bring. Let's talk about just the community. So the community has 1,500 students and a couple coaches, including
nationwide.
Us. Yep, the students in every state now. We're building like a community of people that are collaborating and do deals together. But Walls, there's over $200 million in real estate owned in that. So that tells you that people are active. People have 40 rentals in there. People have zero rentals in there. People have three rentals in there. You know, I just gave our first student of the week to Greg Troncoles, I believe to say his names. But I ran through his story. And he joined in October of 22. And you just saw him, and I could see everything he's posted. Just he's posted about the value he's getting. Everybody have any questions? He posts, then he gets his first deal, you know, 4 months later. Then his next deal, and then he just got his fourth deal under contract, yeah. and working on his fifth and his sixth right now. And he's just talking about everything he's learned. He's a go-giver. He is giving his tenants copies of our book, Own Your Freedom. So just having those types of people in there, that when we get on a call and you run a call, Lucas, there's 30 people on there, but you give an answer and then four other people raise their hands and give their opinion. It's becoming a mastermind yeah. of very, very qualified people. Some of the coach or some of the students, we don't like call them students anymore, give better answers than I do
oh,
for
yeah,
certain things.
For
it's
sure.
like you should be teaching.
Because they're the SMEs, not yeah. us. We don't know every single in and out about real
especially
estate.
The other, especially in like Washington. Somebody's talking
exactly.
about mobile home parks in Washington. Like, I don't know. It's for sure different. And
yeah.
like, so anyway, so we're not the expert at everything, but we have experts at everything inside
yep.
the community. So there's the go-giverness of it, which we are the leaders of that, the culture we're bringing in. You didn't know this, but now you do. Our five core values we're getting ready to create for Prosper. I'm just going to roll those into the group
Beautiful.
And just run everything in the group through that
yep.
and make sure everybody's living those inside the community. So
yep.
just the fact that we care that much and that we are attracting such high level people, every state and then every city has most decent sized cities have multiple people that are meeting and connecting and meeting for coffee. And we're just building this brand and building this financial freedom path for everybody we can. So there's, aside from that, being involved in the community, you get 350 videos that we recorded. You get all the resources, our partnership connections, 7 group coaching calls a week, and it's going to eventually be at least 2 a day, so 10 if not more group coaching calls. You get one-on-one calls. There's like people in that see it. There's no excuse that you're not going to be successful. Maybe it take you 3 months, maybe take you 6 months, but there's no reason you're not going to be successful if you plug in. Like, I am 100% confident. There's so much more you get that I can't even get into, don't want to get into, but there is everything you need to be successful, and your hand's going to be held the entire way.
Yeah, that's man, you gave some great details there. Like, and just looking at it from a more macro level, just all the learning curve is just so much shorter when you're part of a group like this that helps you implement. Like Gregory's example, he started almost exactly a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has 4 rentals in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had 2 in our first year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's double what you and I did in our first year.
Yep.
So imagine the power of that over a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years
mm-hmm.
of how much money he's going to save and how quickly he's going to be able to get to his desired portfolio level to achieve that financial freedom.
So, I mean, those 4 properties, just for quick math on them, I don't know the exact dollar amounts of them, but that, I mean, he's going to become a millionaire
mm-hmm.
in probably 5 to 7 years off of the equity.
If he never bought another one.
Yeah. I think they're in Texas. So the values of those are going to go up.
Yeah.
The cash flow is maybe a little bit higher in Texas because of property taxes. I've learned throughout people there, but the other benefits are incredible there. And then the debt's getting paid down. So those 4 rental properties he's bought without using any of his own money. One of them, he did a cash out refinance on his first rental Walls and took that cash and put that down for a turnkey.
Love it.
He got to get it really quickly
yep.
and he just pulled equity from one. So it's
none
of his own cash.
Yeah.
So just beautiful things. And he learned that inside the community. So yeah, I think just seeing the progression of people and just learning quicker. I tell people, everybody, including you and I, Walls, you have limited spare time. So use your limited spare time wisely and efficiently by following somebody else's grooved path. If we had the Faster Freedom community
yeah.
when we got started, we would, because we're crazy and Greg's crazy in a good way too, we would have had 10 rentals in our first year, not
yeah.
2.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah, we would have. So that's awesome, man. So Faster Freedom community implementation, you got the community, you got the exclusivity of that group. It's our, you know, it's our top tier product.
Yeah, there's we're not going to upsell you anything.
Yeah,
there.
It's an amazing group, and it's lifetime
mm-hmm.
as well. So it's such a cool group. But then we decided to make a different product that's much more affordable. Doesn't quite get some of the things that the actual community does, but can you tell us about that new product and why you made a new product that only costs $49 a month?
Yeah, so it's called Relaunch, and I just looked at trying to get more efficient and trying to help more people and monetize more people. We're not going to shy away from that. So like I said earlier, we have 2.7 million followers, Walls, and we have 1,500 people that have paid us. And I know the numbers, and I know the you know, the people that complain is extremely low, and they're the people that aren't involved. So we're helping 1,500 people, but we have 2.7 million. So what's the difference? 2,780. I don't know. Anyways, there's almost 2.7 million people. It's probably 2.7 million people because we have over 2.7 million followers. Anyways, there's a ton of people that just see my videos on TikTok in between a comedic joke, a golf swing, a booty clapping, Sam's video. Mm. So that can't help them that much. And they need to have a platform that they can go to that is just going to educate them. So we created that with Relaunch. It's $49 a month. You get the 350 videos. You get a live training for me monthly. You get a community to be involved in. So it is an insane amount of value. I think that there is too much value. I've talked about dialing back the value because I don't think people understand the value for $50 a month. It's literally a handful of lattes, and you can like help get a little more efficient, get involved in a community. So it is just kind of like that in-between level. It's more content than I put on social media, but it's just that you're not going to get distracted by all these other videos and advertisements. You're just going to learn, you're going to be inside of it, and you're going to just, you want a question, you have a question, ask it, or watch a video on it. You're going to learn, you're going to be super efficient for $50 a month. Everybody can afford that, and it's, you know, it's not like it's month to month. You can cancel if you don't like it, so it's well worth it. And the link will be in the show notes in the description below, but it is like too much value. I'm honestly thinking about taking some things away because not that many people have signed up because it like seems too good to be true, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we've leaned on the side of let's overvalue, let's overdeliver, and I think that's paid off in a lot.
Yeah, but for this, it's like overwhelming to me. Yeah. Like, so just so you know, we probably had 1,000 people like go to like check it out, and we've got like 75 people signed up, and it's just like, it is so much value. Like, if you're at all interested in real estate, you're going to get your $50 worth, and we're offering like the year plan for even cheaper. So it's so cheap that I feel like, I almost feel like if we charge, which we're not going to upcharge, if we charge like $150 a month, we'd get more signups, but whatever.
And I think there is still a community aspect of that as
there
well.
There is, for
and,
sure.
And it's like its own social media platform in a way.
It's on school. Yeah, there's like a wall that you can ask questions on.
And the more people that are a part of this platform, Relaunch, the more valuable it's going to be to everybody. So I think that's super cool.
And I do a live training in it once a month. I just did it the first Wednesday of every month. Like 45 minutes, hour-long presentation that I know people that like do like live webinars that are sales pitches that people pay money to be a part. Like, you're going to like just learn from me giving, like the last one, Lucas, you'll like this one. I think we're going to reuse it. I went over our very first deal. I went over our 42 pack. I went over our three apartment complexes we bought, the last three ones we bought. So I just broke down the deal, how we funded it, you know, how we were able to buy $20 million worth of real estate without using any of our own money from like 2020 to 2022. So I just broke every deal down, the good, the bad, the ugly. Like, that is that the training in itself is worth $50 a month because that doesn't go on social media.
Yeah, that's super cool. Real quick, Guru. For those of you playing the drinking game out there,
sorry
we haven't
about
said that in a while. So, Guru.
So, can we, in post, can we add Guru? I'm kidding. We're not going to add Guru. Yeah. That's funny.
Cool. All right. Anything else about Gurus?
I don't think so.
About?
You can see this is the longest we've ripped on this opening rant. I'm very passionate about it. I've become passionate about it because it's helped a lot of people. It's been great for us as well. And the impact is the stage we're at. I mean, you want to make as much money as we can, but people ask like, what motivates you now? And honestly, obviously money is it, but it's the impact and seeing people win. And like, I was giddy for 24 hours when I read Greg's post. I'm going to read that. We'll end on that. How's that sound? I'm going to end on Greg's post, our student of the week. That we do you have anything to say before I end?
No,
on Greg's
I think
post?
That's great. I think we're not ending the podcast. We're just ending that section.
Craig, we got
Riddle Me This, Would You Rather, and Motivation Monday coming up. But once you get Greg's testimonies pulled up. Give him a read.
I'm gonna. So this, he just posted this in our community in the private one. So this is from Greg. I'm jumping the gun, but my wife and I are really excited. We are in contract as of Monday for rental property number 4, turnkey. Not to say the address. Purchase is $130,000. Loan will be $104,000. 20% down coming from rental property number 1. Cash out refinance. The best part is this is exactly what the program teaches you. OPM is paying for everything. The rental number 4 will be $1,100 a month and the mortgage is $750 a month. We will pay it off a full year of taxes and insurance because we don't incorporate it in the mortgage payment. Which is how it works for commercial loans, because the tenant's paying for everything. We have taken to another level by giving our tenants free utilities for November and free rent in December. Our circle of friends and family said we're crazy, but my wife and I, quietly in agreement, understood that this is the least we can do to give back. In our tenants' monthly newsletter, we're providing tips on how to save money, how to fix their credit, and how to buy their own home. And yes, we recommend to our tenants Faster Freedom. We're actually giving our tenants a copy of your book, Own Your Freedom. I hope I don't get in trouble and for not getting permission to give them the Faster Freedom book and name. We are now focusing on number 5 at this address, and number 6 we already have under a loose contract. So anyway, just
tenant monthly newsletter. That's a great idea.
I know that, yeah. Like just that, like we should implement that. That just, yeah. That like completely like, and I hear these people talking about, oh, I love seeing these posts of people winning, but for some reason that one hit me different. That was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, that shout was out really to Gregory. Cool to see. Keep yeah. crushing it, brother.
Yep.
All right. Next segment. Riddle me this. Sam, you going to try to stump me?
I'm going to stump you.
Oh, boy.
So this is.
I haven't looked at these either. So no prep, just off the dome.
All right. So this is where Lucas usually gets one right, one wrong, and one maybe, right?
Yeah. All right. So hopefully I get one right because these are tricky sometimes.
It belongs to you, but your friends use it more. What is it?
It belongs to you. But your friends use it more. Your name.
Yeah, you got it. Yes. I was going to say, unless you're Jaden, because he talks in third person more than Jaden. He says his name more than anybody I know. All right.
Woo! So, I'll take the one.
T. York, if he gets good all start. Three, you're going to be in trouble. We got to stop this point. All right, here
what
we go.
Did we do? It was 20 push-ups.
If you get all three?
Because that was last time for you.
So you do 20 push-ups if you...
You do 20 push-ups if I get all three. And I was going to do 20 if you got all the three, true and false. This is way harder than true and false.
I don't know. You measure my life in hours, and I serve you by expiring. I'm quick when I'm thin, and I'm slow when I'm fat. The wind is my enemy.
It's so detailed.
Thank you. Thank you for that one, T-Word.
Oh, man.
So you measure my life in hours, and I serve you by expiring. That's a weird one. That doesn't make sense, but it does. The rest of this makes a little more sense. I'm quick when I'm thin and slow when I'm fat. The wind is my enemy.
Oh, my goodness. You measure the wind is my enemy. Gosh. I'm not sure.
A candle. So that though you measure my life in hours and I serve you by expiring kind of makes sense, but I'm quick when I'm thin, quick candles burn quicker, and then slow when I'm fat, and then the wind is my enemy. So those last couple sentences made it like somewhat gettable, but the first one almost throws me off. It makes sense, but it's not, I don't think, and I'm glad you did this, T-York, so keep making them tricky for Walls, but you measure my life in hours. I don't feel like people measure their candle life in hours.
Yeah, they don't.
Okay.
But they don't last longer than an hour.
Yeah, so it's measured by time, I guess, is what it could have said. And hours
or
is time.
I last no longer than...
You don't last very long?
Hours.
You don't last hours.
It's all relative, bro.
You don't last hours.
It's not very long.
Yeah. All right. I have cities, but no houses. I have mountains, but no trees. I have water, but no fish. What am I? Might get this one.
Oof. Read that to me again.
I have cities. So whatever this is has cities, but doesn't have houses or buildings, I'll say. I have mountains, but don't have trees. I have water, but no fish. So you think about it, it's got a surface level everything, but there's no like tangible things on it.
Mm.
That was a good hit.
Surface level everything.
No tangible things on
no,
it.
No tangible things on there.
Give a guess on this one, or do you just completely?
A globe.
Yeah. Well, see, that's it. One right, one wrong. A map.
A map, yeah. That's the same thing.
Do you think my hints helped a little bit, though?
I think a globe actually has, like, the mountains, like the...
That's what it's saying.
But a map sometimes is just...
But it shows the mountain. But yeah. So, yeah. So, did my hints help at all, though, saying, like, the... Or you think you would have got it without the hints?
I think I would have got it without the
hints. I thought that just the fact that, like, it has the surface level things, but not the details. All right, fine. Yeah. You got it. All right. So, would you rather? You do this one.
So, 2 out of 3, I'll take that on those. Those are tricky.
1.5 out of 3.
Give me 2. Map globe. Is
fine.
The same.
Agreed. Actually, globe might be more accurate because, like you said, globes, not all globes, actually. We have a globe at the house that doesn't, like, actually show the mountains. But
yeah, not all globes.
All right.
Would you rather? We'll both answer these, Sam. Let's get it kicked off with you answering the first one, though. All right. Would you rather be hot all the time or cold all the time? And clothes cannot fix it.
If clothes cannot fix it, hot all the time, for
me too.
Sure.
Me too.
I do not have the best circulation. Like, my hands are cold right
now.
Yeah,
mine are too.
It's kind of chilling here, but...
But it would be annoying to be hot all the time. You're just, like, sitting around, like, sweating everywhere.
But it'd be cold all the time if clothes can't fix it.
Yeah. Well, what if you get rid of clothes? Can it fix the hot part?
Probably not. Clothes can't help either one.
Well, I mean, if you don't have them, though, if you got rid of clothes...
Then you're still hot.
Okay.
Especially when I get rid of my clothes in the bedroom.
Yeah, I would definitely say hot. That means you're, like, exercising, working out, probably, you know, doing some active stuff.
Okay. Lucas, would you rather only speak in Morse code or only speak in binary?
Binary is like 1 or 0. Yeah.
How do you speak in that?
Like yes or no?
Just like coding?
Yeah. I would say Morse code because you can get a little more detailed.
Can you? When you binary is code, you can.
Is it?
Like, you can do anything in binary.
I thought binary would be like you have to like yes or no, like everything.
Is that what you mean by binary? No, he means like coding.
It's an actual code. Well, since I don't know it,
I don't know coding either.
Then I'm gonna go with Morse code for me. So, beep 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 beep.
Remember,
what I said?
Yes, you said. What's up, T York?
I did. Yeah.
Remember our binary rating system?
Oh wow, that's wild. Yeah, binary's crazy. Check that out. 0 or 1 was right, but
0, 1, 0, 0, 1,
but
0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 was our system in college. We're not getting into that right now, but
yes, that's the first thing that popped in my head too.
But we probably shouldn't say that. All right,
what would you?
Probably Morse, honestly, because like I could just tap and do it. Be like, "What's up, Walls?" Just like,
yeah,
and you would know what I'm saying if you knew it.
Or what was that? Which one would that be?
Morse, right?
Morse,
Morse code.
I
agree. Probably pick Morse. Okay. Would you rather double your attractiveness or double your intelligence?
Yeah, this one's pretty easy to me since
you're so attractive.
I'm already very attractive. Yes. So doubling that's not really possible.
It's not realistic.
But as far as the intelligence side, I could definitely double that. And I see that could be beneficial. So intelligence for me.
I think the cool thing about that is, Lucas, if you doubled your attractiveness, you'd know how I live. And if you double your intelligence, you'd know how I live. So,
okay, so either way,
you're going to be
I get to see life through your lens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That's what I'm looking forward to most.
I agree with that. I think that's good. Actually, I agree with you 100%, though. I was going to say, actually, I bet if you polled 100 males or females, they would pretty much 50-50 us on either one. So I would say intelligence for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, that would be really, really cool. Sometimes I feel like I'm really smart. Sometimes I feel like I'm really stupid. It would be nice to feel stupid less.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Awesome. Motivation Monday, you got anything? I do, if you don't.
I could riff something for sure. What
you
about
you?
You
want to riff first or want me to riff? You riff first, because I got one that I'm going to yell a little bit at.
Okay, I'll just do something kind of simple.
I'll do the grand finale.
Yeah, we, what was it, like, my wife, Ashley, she does Orange Theory.
Okay.
And it's, you wear like a heart monitor, right? And it kind of tracks your progress and like calories burned and heart rate and all that stuff. And it prints out like a report with like charts every time, and it's on their app and everything. And it gives you like a score or something, but, her score was like 555. And, she's a big like numbers person.
Triple nickel.
Yeah. So we looked up like what 5-5 was, 555, like what it stood for. And it was something along the lines of, there's like a change in your future, mm-hmm. and to be open to it and accept it.
Okay.
And, I think, and we talked about this a little bit in our quarterly treat with our company too. Like, change is not easy for a lot, for anyone really, but for a specific group of people where their personalities really don't align with change very well at all. But, you know, if you want to get to where you want to get to, you got to be open to change. You got to try new things. You got to figure it out. Change can be done the wrong way or the right way too. So, I would just say open your mind and be accepting of change and kind of just go with the flow and take you where it goes.
Nice. That's a mindset. You're like Phil Jackson.
That's a great comp. I will definitely be Phil Jackson. So
before I get into mine, because I'm going to end on with a bang, I was listening to my boy Cowherd this morning, and he was just talking about change a little bit, but chemistry, and talking about the Warriors specifically. And he's like, Draymond Green, and then a lot of these people have said like how fun it is to go to work now. People stay at like their chemistry is night and day. Last year, all they did was remove Poole and insert Paul, and it's like it completely changed everything. They're like, and not to rip on Jordan Poole, Steph Curry is like the most laid back superstar ever. Couldn't hurt work. Klay Thompson's like just a chill dude. Couldn't make it work.
Draymond is not chill.
Draymond, and that's why I punched him. But then like Steve Kerr is like Phil Jackson 2.0, kind of like a little bit like all of that, and like getting like addition by subtraction. Then you get Chris Paul as well. But anyways, it just was interesting. I was thinking of Phil Jackson that got me to the Kerr thing. But it's just interesting, just that one person like that. He was relating it to like, we've had it here, not very often, but like a group is sitting in a pod upstairs, like together, one person that's negative affects everything.
Yeah, and I think that's a great analogy of what I was just talking about with change. Like,
that's why
the Warriors have had to adapt. Mm-hmm. Their core has stayed the same, so maybe like 50% or maybe even a little more has stayed the same for them, but they've had to make tweaks and adjust to what's going on.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. I think
that it goes to business and it goes to life,
and that segues to my rant.
Ooh, get them fired up, Prim.
Adjusting and changing. So I talked about this on the last podcast I was on, Mr. Dean Rogers' podcast, and he got him pumped up about it, and I think it is extremely important. So about, I think you and I decided this a long time ago, but we really decided it when COVID hit in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I am, and I'm going to say I or we, I'll probably interchange it, but Luke's and I decided we are not going to let external forces decide if we're going to be successful or create wealth or not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let COVID decide if I'm going to create wealth. I'm not going to let Biden. I'm not going to let Trump. I'm not going to let a war across the world. I'm not going to let policy or interest rates or inflation. I'm not going to let anything else decide if we create wealth or not. We're going to create wealth despite that. We're going to adapt. We're going to be agile, and we're going to make it work no matter what gets thrown at. We're not going to make an excuse about something. We're going to take it and figure it out, or we're going to sidestep it. We're on the path to wealth creation no matter what gets thrown our way. So we're just not, I've decided I'm not going to let something external decide if I create wealth or not.
That's a great decision.
Yeah.
Focus on what you can control.
And
what you focus on grows.
Yes, what you focus on grows. So we're not letting something external decide if we're going to be successful or not.
I love that, man.
Cool. All right. Paper thrown. We got our new studio coming one of these days, right?
We've been bouncing around.
So if anybody's listening right now, I would challenge you. Can I challenge somebody?
Challenge him.
If you're listening right now, you've listened to us for over an hour probably. You've got some nuggets. You've laughed. You've been annoyed. You've been through the whole gamut. Share this fucking episode with somebody. Just do it. Share it. You can rate it right if you want, but share this with a friend. Everybody's got a mass text group. Just mass text it to your friends, a group of few of them, and see if we can help change more people's lives.
Love it, dude. All right, I'm going to shoot here. Not the best angle. Yours isn't the greatest either.
Yours is so much better than mine.
We'll give it a go. Oh, that was so bad. That was my worst one ever.
I was going to say,
you're going to joker it.
If you've thrown it 120 times, that was like your third worst ever.
That was so bad. You're going to joker it off the backboard here. Oh, my gosh. How was it? You've made that 3 times in a row.
I think we're probably tied, honestly.
Nah, I think it's like 2 or 3 still.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah.
See you all next week.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.